living streams of water, clean and cold. Living streams of water wash away my own, my own, my own. Living streams.
Hi, this is Pastor Greg Rubel of Living Streams Community Church in McCordsville, Indiana. We want to thank you for your interest in God's Word and this message. We pray that God puts it into your heart.
Streams of water wash away my soul.
Take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 6. We're going to go through verses 43 to 49 today. If you're visiting with us, we are grateful that you're here this morning and know that you're an answer to our prayers. We pray for you to come every week and ask you to fill out a communication card that you'll find in your seats. If you would do that for us, just to let us know that you were here. And there's a welcome table out in the lobby that in a basket for those cards. So if you do that for us, that'd be awesome. Next Sunday, we've dubbed a Streamer Sunday. And I try to do those every so often to remind us of why we're here, what we're about, and where we came from, those kind of things. So next week is going to be a message called The Story of Us. And I look forward to sharing with some of you who maybe have not heard it before and remind the rest of us, you know, what's going on around here. I don't know if you know this or not, but we're not just going to church. There's something bigger going on here. Something bigger than us. So looking forward to sharing that with you next week. Oh, hey, thanks for your prayers, by the way. I was pretty sick last Sunday. I actually don't even remember much. got over that and kind of have some remnants left today. But those prayers spilled over to Lori, and Lori got sick, and she's here this morning, and So it was kind of dominoing through the family. But I ask you to focus your prayers on Maisie. She's the last girl standing in the house. So she's not been sick yet. Well, it's August. Can you believe it? August now. And so what that means is that most of the schools started back up last week, or this coming week they'll be starting back up. And so I just wanted to say, to you who are students, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that our world has decided to make summer so short. But I wanted you to know this, okay? Know this. It's just 35 days until your first holiday, Labor Day, 35 days. And it's just 9 weeks until fall break. And that's not very far, 9 weeks. And I won't burden you with how many weeks it is until Christmas. So I know that when you're in school, it seems like time goes so slow. But you have to know that time really is going fast. And I wanted to say, carpe diem. You know, if you don't know what that means, stay in school. You might pick it up somewhere. So as classes get going here, and that means the learning begins. And that means for a lot of classes, you'll be faced with taking tests. You know, to kind of determine how you're doing. How many of you like to take tests? Yeah, only just a few of you. Yeah. Yeah, I hate tests. I never liked them. They always seem to bring a lot of worry and stress into my life. It doesn't matter how well I prepared. I always felt unprepared, you know, going into those. And really, tests, the ones that I took, they never really seemed to assess what I learned, just what I memorized. So I thought the whole thing was totally unfair. Now, there is an exception for math. I'll give you that, Jim. You know, Jim's a math teacher at Ivy Tech. You know, math's objective, right? You know, you either know the rules, the steps, how to apply them, or you don't. So math, you know, it's an exception on the test thing. But really, I think most of us would say tests are no fun. You know, that's kind of the bottom line. Nobody likes to be weighed and measured and found wanting. especially when it gets reduced down to a grade on a letter on a grade scale, and then that gets converted cumulatively to a number that's called a GPA that has so much impact on your future. Now, I'm like being a little sarcastic, okay? I'll pray for any of you who want me to pray for you who have to endure inspections of your knowledge that result in a high GPA. If you're going through that, I would be glad to pray for you. I just want to say, this too shall pass. In the meantime, work hard at the learning part, and the GPA should take care of itself. Well, today, Jesus' words are going to give us a couple of tests. And they're going to take a couple of tests that we're going to be taking, except they aren't inspecting our knowledge. They're inspecting our lives, our hearts. So every follower of Jesus needs to take these on a regular basis, and based on the results, which I promise will not be posted as a letter grade, there are things that we can do that will increase our experience of eternal life as we walk this earth. So let's read Jesus' inspection orders in these verses, if you'd stand for the reading of God's Word. For no good tree bears bad fruit. Nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. For figs are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor are grapes picked from a bramble bush. The good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I tell you? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when a flood arose, the stream broke against that house and could not shake it because it had been well built. But the one who hears and does not do them is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. When the stream broke against it, immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Let's pray. Father, as we begin to soak our hearts in these two parables of truth for our lives, and I've just sort of talked about school, let me lift up our students and our teachers to you right now. Father, we thank you for them, their lives, and we pray for the teachers that are in the schools that, you know, they would be your love and your light, your joy, your peace and patience to the students that they have in their classrooms, Lord. We pray you'd give them energy and an overabundance of love for the kids that they get a chance to influence and teach. And we pray for the students, Lord, that are going into the schools and, you know, and they're there to learn. But so much goes on, Father, there. So many good experiences and sometimes some tough experiences. So we ask you to cover them, Lord, with your protection and let them be lights in a dark place when that's the case. And just use them, Lord. Use them as they go through this school year. Bless them. Bless their work. And we'll know that the GPA will take care of itself, Lord. Thank you for this word today. And I thank you for the simplicity of it. And we pray that you'd plant it in our hearts and bear fruit from it today. In Jesus' name, amen. And be seated. So the first kind of inspection we're going to conduct is a fruit inspection. Fruit inspection. In verses 43 to 45, Jesus tells us a very simple parable, but it's potentially life-changing depending on how the inspection results come out. There are two kinds of trees and two kinds of fruit, good and bad. You aren't going to get apples off of a hawthorn tree. You aren't going to get grapes from a sticker bush. Why not? Because it's the wrong kind of tree. Wrong kind of tree. So this isn't rocket science that Jesus is teaching here. You don't even need a degree in horticulture, you know, to understand what he's saying. He explains that the good trees represent good people with good hearts, and their good fruit in their life is a result of having that good heart. And then the bad trees, they represent bad people with evil hearts, and that the evil in their lives is coming, that bad fruit is coming out of that evil heart. So the heart is the source of the behavior in our lives. And Jesus points there in the last verse of, verse 45, he points to one place that we look where we can do an inspection. What is coming out of the mouth is an overflow of what is in the heart. So that's a place you can look to do your fruit inspection. Now, first thing to get about this fruit inspection, first thing to understand is the purpose that Jesus told us in the first place. When you read this together with last week's verses, you can understand that the fruit we're going to be inspecting isn't hanging on someone else's tree. You got to take a look at last week where we're not called to be judgmental. We're called to get logs out of our eyes first. Okay? And so that's what we need to work on is this is a self-examination. This is a fruit inspection of what's hanging on our own tree, what's getting produced in our own lives. So we can release ourselves from the pressure and the uncomfortable position of looking at someone else and going, man, that is an evil dude. You know, look at that guy. That is the worst, you know. Just let that go. That's a lot easier than doing a self-examination, but just let it go. Let's look at ourselves. What's hanging on your own tree? Is it good fruit or bad fruit? And how do we know? So the Bible gives us some examples of good and bad fruit. And so we're going to go to Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 to 25. I'm going to read this here from the NLT version. It just reads a little differently. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to His cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. So in there are some examples of good fruit and bad fruit. So let's just start with the good, you know, and that love. So there's this love of God that is flowing through your life to other people. So introvert or extrovert, you will not be able to help loving others at the expense of yourself. That's the Holy Spirit producing the fruit of love. The joy of the Lord will be present in your life. Now, that doesn't mean that you're just going to be happy all the time, but it does mean that your outward circumstances doesn't determine your happiness. If the joy of the Lord is there, if the Spirit is producing joy, you can have joy in times of sorrow. You can still praise the Lord when life is hard. There's a patience with circumstances, you know, saying, God, not get me out of this, but have your way in this. You know, so there's a patience with circumstances. There's a patience with people. God, what are you doing in them? How can I help them? And you never give up on them. You see opportunities to do good and be kind. And when you see them, you take advantage of them. And then you're known as a faithful person to family and friends. People can count on you when the Spirit is producing the fruit of faithfulness in your life. You're gentle with people, trying to listen to them, understanding life through their eyes and what's going on in their life. And then the self-control is more of a habit in your life, not as much a maybe binging on things. But there's this self-control that's going on. So the fruit that's hanging off your tree, all of these fruits, they all point away from you. They're all about other people, even the self-control. You know, you leave the last cookie for someone else. You know, did you know that was a gift of the Spirit, a fruit of the Spirit? Self-control. Now, you know what happens to good fruit, right? It gets eaten. Good fruit gets eaten, and it gives life and energy to the people that consume it. And so that's what your life will look like. People will be improved by consuming the fruit of your life. Now let's take a look at the flip side, the bad fruit. Galatians 5's got a pretty good list of those kinds of behaviors as well. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures. All of those things are about pleasing self. Idolatry, where you worship something or someone other than the one true living God. Sorcery, where you are playing around with the other side's powers to do your own will. That's what sorcery is about. It's doing my will, not God's will. And then you have a litany of relational strife here. Hostility, arguing, jealousy, blowing up in anger, selfish ambition, turning people against each other. And then it's back to the party and life there. So life on the rough side, on the bad fruit side, is about the fun and it's about the fight. And at the center of all of that is self. Bad fruit will use up people instead of bless them. It will take life from them instead of give life. It'll just drain the life right out of people until they disappear from your life. I remember years ago, I don't know if you guys will remember this guy's name, but his name is Bill McCartney. Bill McCartney is a founder of Promise Keepers. He was the former head football coach of the Colorado Buffaloes. I believe he led that team to a national championship in 1990. He was a really good coach. He was talking about how God revealed to him what kind of man he was when he was at church one Sunday with his wife. They were sitting on the front row, and there was a guest preacher there named Jack Taylor. This is what Jack said. He said, "You want to know about a man? You want to know if a man has character? All you have to do is look into his wife's face, because everything he's invested or withheld is in her countenance. Almighty God has mandated that every man bring his wife to the splendor of Jesus Christ." And so Bill takes a look at his wife, Lindy, and he says this, "I didn't see splendor. I saw torment. I didn't see contentment. I saw anguish." And then he made some decisions that day, which led to him giving up a head coaching job when a football team is at the pinnacle of success. And everybody was scratching their head, but all he was doing was looking at his wife because of what he had invested in her or withheld. He was taking life from her instead of giving it. Just one example of the difference between good fruit and bad fruit and what that looks like in your life. Now, as a fruit inspector, I have to give you a warning this morning when you're doing this self-examination. Most of the time, you're going to get it wrong. Yeah, you're going to get it wrong. You'll be inspecting your results and you come up with the wrong result. Here's how it goes. People producing good fruit, they'll only see the struggles in their life. And they'll say, because of those struggles, they'll conclude this, "I need a new me." You know, they might be struggling with anger or self-centeredness or lust of the flesh. They will hate that stuff. They will be giving it to God. "God, forgive me of this. Get it out of my life. I need a new me." That's what they'll conclude from their inspection. Now, people who are producing bad fruit, you know, it's almost impossible not to see the bad fruit. But their conclusion is this, "It's not because of me. I'm this way because my job is so hard. My boss is a jerk. I'm this way because my spouse is so distant. I'm this way because my kids fight all the time. You know, I'm this way because my dad didn't say I love you. I'm this way because I'm so stressed. I'm this way, but it's not because of me." So the good fruit people deem themselves that they need a new me. The bad fruit people say, "It's not because of me." That's wrong inspection results. Now, here's the thing about the bad fruit person. They will not stop with that because they see that it's not good. And so they'll go about trying to fix the fruit. They'll go about trying to work harder to produce love and joy and peace, to try just to be a nicer person. So they think, "I got to do better. You know, I got to be nicer. I got to love better. I got to find a new stress reliever." I mean, whatever the medicine is, a vacation, a nice meal out, a new exercise plan, a new marriage, a better car, different friends, etc., etc., you name it. It's trying to find solutions, everything, working on the fruit in your life, the better behavior. But listen, that's like trying to get grapes from a sticker bush. Now, there might be some success. And depending on how strong a person's willpower is in their life, they might be going along and they might start to look a little more kind and loving or have more peace or patience. But eventually, according to Jesus, it's the fruit isn't the problem. It's the root. It's the kind of tree that you are. Now, back over to the good fruit people. Now, the reason why good fruit isn't noticed in your life when you do an inspection is because you're not producing it. The Holy Spirit has come into your life. God has changed you, given you a new heart, and your heart is beating and doing what it's supposed to do. It's supposed to produce the fruit of the Spirit. And so good fruit people, they won't see that, but they'll see all the places they mess up. And that'll color their inspection, and they'll conclude, I need a new me. But what they should conclude is that good stuff is not because of me. That would be a proper fruit inspection for a good fruit person. That it's not because of me. And then for the bad fruit person, they are the ones who need to say, I need a new me. So they need to be switched. Isn't that amazing? So this morning, with those kinds of warnings and instructions, do a fruit inspection. Do a fruit inspection. What kind of fruit does your tree tend to produce? Does it sound more like the fruits of the Spirit of love and joy and peace and patience, being others-centered in your life, life-giving to people, glorifying God? Is that the flavor of your life? Or is it more like the bad fruit person, sounding more like the sinful nature, strife with others, self-promotion, pursuits of pleasure? What kinds of fruits dominate your life? Now, here's the deal. If you're able to see your fruits this morning, good or bad, God is giving you eyes to see. He's giving you eyes to see it. If you're seeing life and you're going, I sound a lot more like the sinful nature guy than I do about the Spirit, and the conclusion is, I need a new me, God is trying to get your attention right now. He is speaking to you right now. There is absolutely nothing you can do about the kind of tree you are. But God can change your tree. God can come in, change the heart. Ezekiel 36:26, I will give you a heart of flesh to replace a stony, stubborn heart. And that heart of flesh beats to follow Him. He will do that. If you can see your life and you can see where you stand with Him. So if you're looking at your life right now, you're doing this fruit inspection, you say, man, I think I'm the problem. Not everybody else. I'm the problem. I need a new me. Listen, you're in the right place this morning. You're in the right place. Now, if your inspections are colored by your struggles, if you're looking at life and you're like, I need a new me, I just want you to know this morning, that's your struggles talking. And you need to take a look and ask God to help you see, where are the fruits of the Spirit in my life? Where am I loving? Where it's hard. Where it should be hard, but it's not hard. Where do I have joy when I shouldn't have joy? Where is there peace when there should be worry? Where is there patience when I should just give up? That's the Spirit working through you. You have to look hard because He's working through you. It's happening and you don't notice it. Look. And then you got to grab onto that the right inspection, the proper inspection. It's not because of me. It's not because of me that's happening in my life. God's giving me a new heart. He's doing it through me. The Spirit filling me and loving and all that is happening because of Him. And the reason you got to cling to it's not because of me is because that's the same answer to get you through the struggle. The same answer to get rid of that bad fruit is not you. It's not you working harder, trying to be a better person and loving people harder. It's not you. It's the Spirit in you. So cling to that. It's not because of me. Philippians 1:6 is your answer. And I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue His work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. He's working in you. And He's going to keep working in you. Let Him work. So that's fruit inspection. Now the next one, we move on to the last verses of the Sermon on the Plain, verses 46 to 49, and we're going to do another kind of inspection. This is a building inspection. Okay, so we got to remember who Jesus is talking to here. This is a large group of people that he's talking to on a level place, remember. And in this group, the people that make up this group are the A-team disciples who've just been selected by Jesus. And then some other disciples, which sounds like a pretty large group of people that are following Jesus around from place to place, wanting to hear and drink and everything he's saying. Then there are people there who are curious. They've heard about Jesus' power, and they want to know if he's real. And then there's people there who want to be healed. You know, so that's the group that he's talking to. But what Jesus is looking for are people who would believe in who he was and people who would follow what he said. And so he starts this off with a question. Why do you say to me, Lord, Lord, when you don't do what I say? You know, it's a simple question, but it's a hard question. And then he gives a couple of illustrations, a simple parable. And it makes good sense to anybody, but life-changing consequences if we will look at our lives through the lens of this parable. This will change your life. Anyone who hears what I say and puts it into practice, they're like a builder who's building up a house. But before they nail anything together, they get the shovel out. And they start digging down into the ground. They dig down far enough until they find solid rock. And then they start putting the house together. They start building that house on that solid rock. And then later on, when storm comes, rains come, floods rise, streams beat against the house stands firm, doesn't shake because it's well built. It's got a good foundation. On the flip side of that, there are those people who hear the words, but they don't put them into practice. And so they're like a man who is also building a house, but he doesn't worry about the foundation. He's just putting it on a level ground and he lifts it up. And along comes the storms, the rain, the flood, stream beats against the house, and it falls. And it's this huge disaster. So here's some things to understand about your life this morning. All of us here are building. We're all building a life, whatever it looks like. We're all doing that today. We're all builders. And all of us here are hearing the words of Jesus right now. And people on the internet, you're hearing the words of Jesus right now. We're getting wisdom from the greatest sermon that was ever preached by the greatest preacher that ever lived, Jesus. We're hearing them. This parable that we're talking about, it's had songs written about it. We're all hearing. So that puts us, people who are hearing and people who are building, squarely in the lines of this scripture. I mean, you can put yourself right in there. All of us are building and all of us are hearing God's word right now. And then Jesus says, hey, an inspection is coming on your building. Are you prepared? Who's the inspector? Well, trials. Trials and storms of life are the inspector. And you should know, trials and storms, they do not discriminate. So everybody here, everybody who can hear me, get ready. Either you're going into a storm, or you're in one, or you're just coming out of one. Because this is the life that we live in. Everybody's going to have to face the flood sometimes, and it'll happen again and again as life goes on. And the trials are going to inspect our life. They're going to see if we've been building well, if we've been building on a good foundation. What is the foundation? In one word, obedience. Obedience to Jesus' word. Now, we're in Luke's version of the Sermon on the Plain. If you go over to Matthew chapter 5 to 7, that's the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus, a lot of Jesus' teachings collected there. I want to ask you today, take 30 minutes and read Matthew 5 to 7. Just go read it. And you're going to get an earful when you read it. You know, Jesus, there's a lot in those chapters. There's divine wisdom about our mission as Christians. There is instructions and knowledge to get about our relationship with God and our relationship with others. There's information about spiritual disciplines of prayer and giving and fasting. And then Jesus has character issues in there, integrity issues. There's peacemaking, finances, worry, anger, impurity, all of those things in three chapters. You're going to get an earful. But ask yourself, do I have a life full? Do I have a life full of these words? Really, I want you to do this. Do it. Do it today. Don't wait. Don't wait till after lunch. Do it at the lunch table. Do it, because there's a building inspection coming into your life in the form of some kind of trial. It's coming. Do not make the mistake of inspecting your building based on what someone else is building. You know, sort of comparing your life to someone else's life and go, man, I think my house looks better than their house. I think I'm doing okay compared to them. But what you can't see is what's going on underneath the building. What kind of foundation do they have? So Jesus says at the end of this, when that storm comes and it hits the house that wasn't well built, it's like a huge disaster when it falls. I mean, it immediately goes down and it's a great crash. What kind of disaster are we talking about? You know, what's at risk? Well, there's maybe several things, but I thought of two things. The first one goes back to Jesus' first question. Why do you call me Lord when you don't do what I say? I read this week this quote, that the truest profession of our faith is the practice of our faith. You ever heard that before? I hadn't heard it put that way before. James, Jesus' brother, you know, I'm sure heard a lot of what Jesus had to say. He wrote this in James, be doers of the word and not only hearers, and so deceiving yourselves. The people who aren't listening to God's word are not in danger of deceiving themselves. What are we in danger of deceiving ourselves about? Whether or not I'm truly saved. Whether or not I'm truly a believer. So the authority that you give the words of Jesus, the words of the Word of God in your life, the attention that you give it, says a lot about what you believe. What you believe about Jesus. So if you're building your life on something other than Him and His Word, you're in for a disaster of eternal proportions. So do you believe in Jesus? The Son of the living God, the bright morning star, the King of the Jews. Do you believe in Him, the Lion of Judah, the light of men, the Word, the exact imprint of God's image? Do you believe in Him, our Savior, Redeemer, and friend? Do you know Him? Do you know Him? Look at your foundation before you say yes or no. Look at your foundation. Now, the second kind of disaster I think that we need to be leery of is failing to be faithful. Failing to be faithful when the storms arrive and our house gets shaken because we didn't test and approve God's word in our life. Last May, I was up at Moody Pastors Conference, and Paul Nyquist, president of Moody, started off the event on Monday night, and he shared with us a message about the coming storms from our culture against Christianity like we've never experienced before. Paul grew up in Kansas, and he told us about how storm clouds would gather off on the horizon hundreds of miles away, and he could see those storm clouds before the storm ever got to his home. And he said, hey, the storm clouds are gathering in America. And then he said, gave a message from the end of John 15 where Jesus talks about how the world is going to hate us. Three reasons why. Because that's how they treated Him. And because we identify with Him. And because we exposed their sin. Light shining in the darkness. That's all it can do. You're the light of the world, people. Sorry. You're gonna expose sin in a dark world. And that is going to bring hatred on us. And we can see the storm clouds approaching. for us who know Jesus as Lord and who want to worship Him by following His word. I don't think any of us here want to be like Peter, you know, and we deny that we know the Lord when the storm comes, when the heat goes up. You know, when someone's bringing it to us, we don't want to deny that we know the Lord. We don't want to be like Judas and betray Him and crucify Him all over again because we weren't strong enough to stand when the heat comes, when the storm starts hitting our house. We don't want to be like those guys. What we do want to be like is the people that are described in Revelation 12, verse 11. And they have defeated Him by the blood of the Lamb and by their testimony. And they did not love their lives so much as... Sorry, I started to quote it from a different version. Let me start again. And they have defeated Him by the blood of the Lamb and by their testimony. And they did not love their lives so much that they were afraid to die. That's how we want to be, right? We want to be able to stand up like that. How? How do we do that? Through the testing and proving of our faith by the practical living out of God's word in our life every single day. So these storms and trials are going to come, and they're going to come in all forms, shapes and sizes. There'll be health, you know, crises. There'll be job crises. There'll be crises at school this year, students. There will be. They're coming. There'll be family things. There'll be crisis from the enemy. Our sin will cause crisis in our lives. And then actually storms sometimes, you know. The rain comes and fills up the basement. You know, there's a storm right there. And when that stuff happens, where do you run? Where do you run to? Is Jesus the cornerstone of your life, of your building? Is following His word the foundation that you're building your life on? If not, what do you do? What do you do this morning if you go, I really don't. I've heard a lot of it, but I don't practice it. Well, here's the thing. I would go back to believe in Him. Start right there. Believe in Him and receive Him in your life and trust Him for life. Don't just trust Him with your death. He's a living God. He will come into your life and begin to lead you. And He will show you how to apply this word. And so just go read it at lunch, Matthew 5 to 7, and do the next thing you know to be right. That's where you start. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your grace. We know it's sufficient for our lives today. We ask You to fill in the gaps that are revealed from Your word and send us out in the strength and power of the Holy Spirit to live the life You call us to live. And I pray for those here today, Lord, maybe thinking they don't know You. Maybe have heard a lot of Your word, but they don't have a life full. Lord, give them the faith to believe today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.